Yeah, it's Pulse with the sports. You don't need another report. Bleeding green till I D-I-E. Hold it down for the best team. We in first place, we the Celtics. Try to shoot it, we ain't let ya. Finna going with a ring. Giving fades like I'm Kyrie. You the opposition, can't score yet. Homie, you ain't even on the floor yet. Big buckets and big shots. Better check the time on the shot clock. Got my shooters on me, they wet you up. It's a 30-footer, I ain't letting up. Scary Terry with the dancing bear. Gonna light it up like it ain't fair. Dunk it on you like Rozier. Fourth quarter, we in fifth gear. I got Tatum, I got Brown. I got Marcus locking you down. Grab a broom, it's a sweep. Score 100 on our feet. Celtics Pulse, we the team. And we don't accept defeat, yeah.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Celtics Pulse Podcast, part of the Pulse Podcast Network. I am your host for this evening, Tim Shields, Return of the Boy on Twitter. And we are on today with Cody and Brendan.
What's up, guys?
Howdy ho.
And just want to give a shout out to our sponsor for this week. It is going to be TixBlix, a brand new ticketing service that is free of service fees. Use the code PULSE at checkout in order to save even more on your tickets. Excellent site, guys. Give it a check out.
Have you been searching for the best ticket deals around? Well, look no further. With TixBlix, the price you see is the price you pay. And TixBlix just happens to have over $6 billion in ticket inventory just waiting for you. They absolutely mean it when they say every ticket, every venue, everywhere. And you can save even more with promo code PULSE in all caps to save you 5% off your total purchase. Just go to TixBlix.com and click the search bar. Search events based on your geographic location. Pick the show you want, and bam, it's showtime. Sporting events, Broadway shows, concerts, and more with TixBlix.com. And while you're there, be sure to sign up for the email newsletter so you can stay up to date on the latest news and savings with TixBlix. That's TixBlix.com, TixBlix.com. Every ticket, every venue, everywhere.
So, just to jump into it, obviously we've got a little bit of a lull since we just are wrapping up these All-Star events. We had an amazing, exciting matchup last night where we had Jason Tatum, first time in Celtics franchise history for a player on the Celtics to win the Skills Challenge. Guys, what are your thoughts?
Well, it was exciting to have a Celtic in that challenge, I guess, and he killed it on the three-point shot, pretty much, which is what you expected from him. And yeah, it was fun. I mean, it's just a kind of messing around. It looked like Trae Young was the one that was taking it the most serious, and Tatum screwed around, threw up a half-court shot, and won it. So works for me.
It's cool. I mean, it's cool. I mean, has the Laker won one? Because if not, then that just proves that we're better than them. it was all right. I think they put him and Kuzma in the contest because if you really think about it, like they're not, and they're good shooters and good offensive players. I wouldn't call them out amazing passers, which is really what sort of separates, you know, who gets into the skill competition. It's more about the passing and dribbling rather than the offensive talent. I feel like they just put those two in because of all of the fighting that's been going on by fan bases the last year, who's better than two. So I thought it was a little nice little nod, a little push there. But it's cool. I mean, it's nothing to really hang your hat. It's nice. It's what it is. It's like getting an all-star bid for Little League baseball. Like, yeah, it's nice. But like, it's nice. That's just all he can say about it.
Yeah.
You know, you can't really put too much stuff. It's not like, oh, Jason Tatum's extremely skilled. He is extremely skilled, more skilled than I am. I'm not in the NBA. But, I mean, it's not like just because he won this event, he's the world's greatest passing small forward we've seen since Larry Bird.
Well, you know the rules now is because he won skills competition, he's the most skilled player in the NBA. That's the rules.
That is true. It's NBA. I was on the Spencer Dinwiddie bandwagon last year, and I'm so glad I nailed that call. But good for Jason Tatum. Let's get a little round of applause for our boy. Because guess what? He's only 20. He's only 20. And Deuce is only 20 months.
Dinwiddie officially challenged him to next year.
Love it. Oh, I'm all for it.
Spencer Dinwiddie?
Yeah.
I like him.
I love Dinwiddie, and I feel like people are just going to remind – like, I feel like he's going to be one of those guys that takes so much pride in it that he's going to do it every year. and people are just going to remember him for the guy that did the steals challenge like 15 times. When, to be fair, he's borderline the best player on the Nets. Like, all due respect to Russell and all due respect to Caris LeVert, who's back from injury. You can make the strong case that Spencer Dinwiddie might be the best player, and that's why, and he's a big reason why they're in the position that they are right now.
Yeah, he grinded his way back to that contract, too.
Yeah, he got paid, got some dough, got, you know, he's a very skilled player. You know, I thought he's a very good passer, and he's extremely underrated. A taller dude as well. I mean, I can't wait for this Dinwiddie-Tatum matchup next year, actually. I'm a little excited now.
I will say,
I know Trae Young was already talking about running it back.
Yeah, I was pissed that Trae Young even got there, to be honest, because it's so bull that his first round with Fox, he didn't even make the pass, but apparently you just pass it three times, and even if you miss, you can just start running. It's like, you should have at least like five tries to put you a little bit behind, but like, you make the if pass. You're a bad passer, you just throw three of them at one time and then just go, like...
You're in the NBA. Make the pass.
Yeah. And it's Trae Young. He's a good passer.
Yeah, he's a dope passer. He's insane.
I definitely think it's the NBA leading to that, a whole Agent Zero versus Agent Zero kind of thing with Kuzma and Tatum both going at it in there. I think it definitely seemed that way too with like their advertising and stuff, you know, for the Rising Stars game too. They're kind of like, oh, you know, I don't know. Just the way it seems framed, they're definitely trying to bring back that Celtics Lakers rivalry, and that's, I feel like they were just eating it up with all the AD talk too.
Yeah, I mean, All-Star Weekend has not been what it used to be, and that's been quite documented. You know, the All-Star Weekend is pretty cheeks. The skills challenge, I didn't really watch. I didn't really watch anything but the three-point competition. The dunk contest, didn't even give it a try, and from what I've seen, it was a pretty bad competition.
I saw was it John Collins who had that really, really awful plane dunk?
Oh, yeah. He went to jump over a plane and, like, kicked it.
Yeah, and Dennis Smith Jr. Had, like, five attempts on each dunk, which just takes everything out of it. The only good one was that dunk over Shaq, which was really nice.
The one with J. Cole was kind of cool, though.
Yeah, that was cool too. Cole's high school jersey.
Yeah, that was cool. It's better than freaking Depot's Black Panther mask thing last year.
Yeah, right in the hype.
I mean,
nothing's been the same since that 2016 one with Aaron Gordon.
2016 was phenomenal. And everyone's like, well, the dunk contest is back. It's more of what show can you put on, then what dunk can you do? Because we've already seen all the dunks. I mean, I feel like at this point we're just spoiled, because like back in the 80s, if someone did that, they'd get every endorsement you could ever get. But now it's just like we're breeding physical freaks now. Like,
yeah,
I saw a 7-month-year-old. He was already 6'5", 230, and had a 7'3 wingspan. 7-month-year-old. Like, that's just how they're being bred now. So
what
like
are they feeding these kids?
Like these 360 dunks, like if you don't do that by eighth grade, you're a social outcast.
How many 360 dunks have you done, Cody?
I have done a total of zero 360 dunks. I can't even figure out how to do it on 2K. The dunk contest is dick too. I don't know what to do. What do they expect from us? But anyway, I digress. It's not that the dunks aren't good. It's that we have seen them. That's just all it is.
How much can they do, though, at this point? Exactly. You know, you need to see these athletic freaks just go at it. I mean, having a guy, I would love to see Giannis do one of these. It's not like he's got a supreme amount of bounce, but he's just so gigantic that I just wonder what he would do.
Yeah, I feel like with these all-star events, like the really only all-star event where you get the stars other than the all-star games themselves is the home run derby in the MLB. And even then, that is also starting to decline, just like the dunk contest, just like, you know, the Pro Bowl. I don't think anyone watches.
Oh, fuck the Pro Bowl.
And it's just one of those things where they're just, it's not the same. It's the all-star is supposed to be a celebration of the players who have the skills, who have the talent, that have put in the hard work. It's supposed to be a celebration. I believe that's truly what it's supposed to be. And it's just one of those things where no one gives a rat's anymore. Everyone's like, eh, I'd rather be in Cabo right now, just chilling,
yeah,
than, you know, be in some sweaty gym for 45 hours.
So for the MLB All-Star game, don't they do that the winning team gets home field advantage for the finals?
They used to, but they don't. Okay. They don't do that anymore. I think 2 years ago they got rid of that, which I thought was pretty cool because it sort of gave like
there's actual, an incentive.
There's an incentive to do it, and there was an incentive to actually take it seriously. And you know, baseball's baseball. No one watches that but me because I guess that's all it is. But even last year was a little bit more showy. There was a lot more switches, a lot more just like showing off and goofing around in the infield and stuff like that. Because there wasn't that incentive. There wasn't that, hey, for the all-star players who run contenders and who understand the value of four games at home rather than three, they went hard. And, you know, it's just one of those things, like I said, it's more of a event than it is anything else. It's more of a how much media can we get there and how much social media and how much publicity can we get rather than actual quality. Let's gather the family round and watch the skills competition.
Well, it's the MLB runs in the same issue like you were saying with the home run derby, where it's players don't want to go out there and gas themselves out or burn themselves out or risk, you know, injury or pulling something. I mean, for the longest time, David Ortiz did home run derby, and then eventually he just stopped doing it because, you know,
they want
just
him
didn't
to
make
it,
sense.
Wanted him to do it in his final year, but he said, nah. I remember this year, like, Stanton didn't do the home run derby. Stanton is... You know, for those who don't watch baseball, basically, trying to make a comparison. He's just basically the
John
best
Wall.
Home run hit. Yeah, he's John Wall. He's flashy. He gets, But anyway. But Aaron Judge didn't do it. And those are the two bigger names. I believe the only reason Bryce Harper did it was because it was in Washington, D.C. And it was sort of the thing where every home run derby should have, like, a home player be represented in it. There were some still power bats, like, Kyle Schwarber's an absolute tank. Freddie Freeman was one of the other stars that did it. But that's becoming – it's almost like every year the dunk contest, there's always one or two guys where you're like, who the hell is that? Yeah. Like the Derrick Jones Juniors of the world. You know,
I just wish we would get back to like getting – I like want to see like Jaylen Brown get in there at some point. Because you see guys like that go out there and they just hammer down the ball sometimes. And you're like, man, like I want to see that guy do the dunk competition. I mean, he had a chance, I remember, I think was his sophomore year, and he turned down the opportunity, you know. I was hoping we would see Morris at least do the three-point, but, you know, and that's part of the reason why it was cool to see Tatum go out and even just do the skills competition, because at least there's some kind of stake for me to watch it, even if it is just a skills comp.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, like, you can only – there's only so much we can talk about the All-Star game, and the All-Star game is tonight as of recording this. Probably when this pod goes up will be last night, if I'm doing my math correctly in my head.
Yes, I believe so.
But, I don't know. It is – Tatum won, so I think it's cool.
So. And did you hear the comments he had made with ESPN? I just think it's important just because – for those who didn't know, obviously his name was coming up in those trade talks. Nothing ever actually came of fruition before the trade deadline because of Kyrie and everything. But there was talks of him saying he would be open to a trade to New Orleans. Now, he did a recent interview at All-Star Weekend saying, I want to spend the rest of my career in Boston. So to have a young guy come out and say that is awesome. You know, every single time you draft a guy, you know, you get attached to him for the most part, and you don't want to see him go away. And a lot of people are mixed bag when trying to move either Tatum or Brown or both, and Smart and picks and other assets to go ahead and get AD. What are your thoughts? What do you guys make of the comments? Who would you throw in an AD package?
I think that it actually is a big deal because very easily he – and you see plenty of other – young guys that are up and coming kind of just push it off a little bit and say, you know, I'll deal with the future as it comes. But he came out and said he wants to stay in Boston. And even aside from that comment, at this point, I'm over the AD stuff. And I feel like we are good enough with the roster that we have. Like when Morris is gone next year, Jaylen gets a little more playing time and Hayward's looking better, that I think we can win with what we have, that we don't need to make that AD trade. So I'm off that at this point.
I agree with that. I mean, I love AD, and that when the first AD rumors came up, my whole theory was everyone's like, well, we can't trade Jason. We can't trade Jason. And I thought, well, Anthony Davis is already a bona fide top five, top six player in the league, and he's only like, what, 25? Do you believe that Jason Tatum will ever reach that peak that early? I was like, maybe not. I mean, there's a good chance he won't. So, yes, make the trade. But now I'm thinking, like Brendan said, you would have to give up at least Brown, your picks, which can be favorable if Memphis doesn't, you know, if Memphis is in the top eight this year, then we get another chance to get a really, really good pick for next year where you have some high-profile big man, especially, and Vernon Carey Jr. or a James Wiseman coming into the draft next year, which is a little, you know, ambiguous to be looking that far ahead, but you know me. And do you really want to give all that? And how important really is depth versus star power? I mean, we saw last year the Warriors kind of struggled a little bit, especially in the Western Conference Finals, to a more deep team. The Rockets were the better team in that series. That's just facts. And they were the deeper team in that series. And that is also fact. I mean, you can roll out Curry, Thompson, you know, Draymond and Durant, but sometimes you need those Ian Clarks, you need those Iguodalas, you need those Sean Livingston to really make the difference. And if you have Kyrie, who is your bona fide star, you have Jason Tatum, who is your easy number two option, a Gordon Hayward, who is looking a lot better, not saying he's back, but definitely by next year, he's going to be a lot better than he was in the beginning of this year. You need to keep your Marcus Smarts. You need to keep you know, your Robert Williams is going to have another year under his belt, your Horfords, your Browns. You need, I feel like we would, I would rather have that team than some form of that team adding Anthony Davis in.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? This is 8-Bit Ray from the Gorilla Brain Podcast, part of the Pulse Podcast Network. Did you know that you could be using this spot to advertise your company or business? Well, I've done the research, and PodcastInsights.com report that podcast listeners are loyal, affluent, and mostly college-educated. But most importantly, are five times more likely to interact with the ad they hear on their favorite podcast than an ad from any other medium. If you would like to advertise your company or brand with our network, it's simple. All you have to do is send an email to marketing@pulsepodcastnetwork.com. I'll say it one more time. marketing@pulsepodcastnetwork.com, and we hope to hear from you soon.
Here is a little bit of a under the radar wrinkle with the whole AD situation. Mm-hmm. If the Celtics manage to free up enough cap space, they're not going to have to worry about, in terms of salary, what they're going to have to send out. Because if they can get under the salary cap and they have the salary cap room, they would be able to trade for Anthony Davis outright without having to move more salary. They'll obviously have to give up talented players in return, but it's not going to have to equal out that salary, because as soon as you're able to get underneath that cap, you're getting a little bit more flexibility. So they could trade more actual like liquid assets like picks. With the whole Horford situation, he could opt out and restructure and take a smaller deal. So the actual offer this summer, I think, whichever team manages to land Anthony Davis is going to be a lot less than what we expected in terms of players.
Yeah,
I think it'll be pick heavy, and they're obviously going to get some young players in return, something with some talent. But it's going to be along the same lines of Paul George, of Jimmy Butler, or at least, you know, Jimmy Butler Part One, where the initial deal seems very underwhelming. And long haul, it'll be interesting to see how those assets, whatever they get in this trade, how they will pan out for them. But I think the Pelicans, are smart to work. Even if they have zero desire to trade him to Boston, they could use Boston as leverage this summer. But there's just a lot of things that seem to be lining up right now and giving tones the right way. And just the overall turnaround since the trade deadline and how Anthony Davis and the situation have been perceived. We've had the talks of, you know, the Celtics essentially shooting across the bow of Rich Paul and Clutch Sports Agency, calling them out for leaking that story about Kyrie trying to go to New York. They were the ones who fed that to the media. They said it was underhanded and, you know, that it was a bullshit move. And on top of that, now you have Anthony Davis going into interviews at the All-Star game saying, Boston's not off my list. They weren't ever not on my list. And he went on to say, you know, I consider all 29 teams. I just want to go to a team that, you know, is going to give me the best chance to win. I don't care what market is. It could be small market, big market. I just want to go to a team that's going to help me win. Now, it's not saying, oh, yeah, I want to go to Boston. But, you know, it's everything that we've been told so far has just been a lie. It's been posturing. It's been collusion.
It seemed like those reports were there. And I said this previously. It felt like it was decently obvious that, of course, Boston's not off the list. It was just that he was trying to get traded before the deadline. So if New Orleans thinks that Boston is on the list, we pretty clearly can make the best package if we decide to include Tatum, which is something on its own. But he was trying to get moved before the trade deadline. So, of course, Rich Paul, who, yeah, like you're saying, slimy and all of this, wasn't going to put Boston on that list. So that way New Orleans tried to pull the trigger within that week.
Here's the big takeaway. Rich Paul's list versus Anthony Davis's list. And I've said it before when it was like really, really a big thing, when he came out with the trade demand. Anthony Davis didn't say it, Rich Paul did. The list that Anthony Davis, quote unquote, put up, that's obviously a Rich Paul list. Reminded me a lot of Kawhi Leonard. We didn't hear Kawhi Leonard say a goddamn word until he was actually traded. It was Kawhi A isn't saying anything, and B, the things we heard were from Kawhi's uncle or Kawhi's camp or Kawhi something. It wasn't Kawhi. Anthony Davis has been the same thing for the past 3 weeks. I have not heard one thing other than the four-team list that said Clippers, Lakers, Knicks, Bucks, which was, I guess, Anthony Davis's list. For potential teams, definitely for the trade deadline, as Brendan mentioned, and that he said he wanted to trade. Those are the only two things I've heard. I had not heard a single thing about the Lakers other than the list. I haven't heard a single thing about not going to Boston other than what his dad said. Anthony Davis hasn't said really much. So all we can look at is what Anthony Davis has said. This whole thing is a shitstorm because everybody else was like, hey, I have an opinion. I'm going to put it out on behalf of my dear friend Anthony Davis, my client Anthony Davis, on behalf of my son Anthony Davis. No, you're doing no one a favor with that. You just look like A, an asshole, and B, you make your kid and your agent look like an asshole. And C, I think it went 1, 2, and C, but anyway. Whatever, it's just like, if Anthony Davis said so, cool. If Kawhi Leonard says so, cool. If Jimmy Butler says so on an interview with Rachel Nichols, cool. Until then,
It's still technically collusion, though. That's the thing. Like, he can't come out and say that stuff. It's technically tampering.
Exactly. So why are we really talking about it? I mean, I don't know.
Because people got agendas, and that's what it is. I mean, with Rich Paul, too. You know,
yeah, I know.
This is the first time the NBA has ever had this kind of situation where you've got an active player, one of the greatest players on the planet, with the reputation of the flair for the dramatic, getting his hands involved in somebody else's trade demand and having a direct effect on it, and also having something to significantly gain. There's a whole gray area that the NBA is directly going towards right now, straight ahead, and it's a huge conflict of interest. And I would not be surprised at the end of this that we see Rich Paul get canned by Anthony Davis, because he's made Davis look bad. He's you know, made issues happen between the league and the Lakers. And now every single thing that Davis says or does is going to be analyzed by the league office in order to see if it's collusion, to see if it's tampering, to see if there is, you know, illegal communication happening right under the league's nose.
I'm all for, you know, players carving their own path. That was a big thing in sports lately, in these recent CBAs. The players should get more control, and I agree with that. You know, when Kevin Durant left for for Golden State, I was one of the only people, because obviously it was a game-breaking decision, but I was one of the only players to look at it as a thing of he's doing what he believes is best for his career. That's his choice, a personal choice. You don't have to like it. We got to respect it as a man making a decision. He owed nothing to these teams. These players don't owe anything to these franchises, much like these franchises don't really owe much to these players. You know, you think you see the Pierces and the Kobe's and the Garnett's and the Duncan's and
the Dirks, Jordan's
and the Olajuwon's and the Dirks, and yeah, in a perfect world, both player and team does what's best for each other. You know, mm-hmm. you look at a player like Tom Brady, consistently taking pay cuts to make his team better, and in the long run, the team gives him pieces to win championships. Same thing with Dwayne Wade. Fun fact, Dwayne Wade has never been the highest paid player on his team, which A, is criminal, and B, he did that to win. He took a pay cut and got less money than LeBron and Chris Bosh so he could win two championships. You know, he did the same, you know, he was on the rookie deal with Shaq and he let Shaq be the guy until it was his turn to do it. And yeah, that's ideal. That's what everyone wants. Everyone wants that Larry Bird type player, that Magic Johnson. They want those players. But at the end of the day, not everyone is going to be that player. So A, you can't really hold that against people. And B, they're doing what they thought is best. If Anthony Davis, and Anthony Davis has let New Orleans try their best. He's been there, what, 7-8 years now? They have gotten basically nowhere. If he wants to trade, sure. But making it a circus, which we have just highlighted, isn't really his fault. But I feel like that's the fault in this wave, quote-unquote, this new fashion of doing business like this.
Yeah, well, yeah, and I think players of, you know, the Bird caliber and Kobe, you know, guys of that same echelon that you've just gone over, the reason why players like that are so remembered and cherished is because of how special they were, the relationships that they had with their franchises. I'm not saying that it's not necessarily in the player's best interest to be that way. But, you know, we've seen both sides of the same coin. You know, we've seen Kobe, who, you know, right after having a significant damaging injury to his career, get a big contract extension from the Lakers. And then we've seen Isaiah Thomas, you know, fighting through pain, going through all of that in the playoffs with the loss of his sister and having that hip injury flare up and have it be debilitating for him for the past year and a half. And then the Celtics flipping him for Kyrie Irving. And because of stuff like this, because of, you know, what happened with Kevin Durant's decision, you know, those years ago, now at this point, we're looking at a new age in the NBA. You know, LeBron is one of those guys who is specialized, you know, the 1+1 offer, you know, first year, you know, guaranteed, second year player option, where he kind of, you know, held a gun to the head of the franchise in order to try and make the team better. Now, we're seeing Kevin Durant do that now. I think that's going to change for him this summer too, but it's another similar situation with Anthony Davis as we had with Paul George and Jimmy Butler, and we face it with Kawhi Leonard now too, where you've got a guy who's still under contract and wants out, and it's definitely going to lead to a lockout at some point. I think with the way that social media has changed, the way that player interactions have changed, player relationships, as well as just overall changes with league office structure and with the idea that a player can own a freaking sports agent, there's going to be a lot of changes with rules. And stuff like the Anthony Davis, Kawhi Leonard, all of this stuff that's happening now, including, you know, everything with Golden State, you know, it's going to be big changes. And I think there's going to be a lot. I don't know when, and it depends when the CBA is up. But owners can't putting up with this, but at the same time the players are doing what's best for them, and I can't fault them for that.
And how funny is it that LeBron's team, he picks everybody that's about to be a free agent?
Yeah,
he took level KD, troll. Kawhi, Kyrie, Clay, and I'm missing one, AD. Of course.
What a fuck that guy.
And then Live says there's no such thing as tampering on All-Star Weekend.
I don't blame him for doing it. Well, here's hoping he doesn't get any of those. Yeah. I think if the Lakers are smart, they should try and trade for Beal. That's my personal opinion.
Yeah.
Maybe try and go and get Boogie in free agency, depending on what his health is. But there's going to be some changes this summer. Obviously, with Anthony Davis, you know, being on the table right now, team that lands him depends on how much they're giving up, but Kevin Durant might be looking to leave Golden State. Who knows? Maybe Golden State holds on to Boogie, or, you know, because they've got Clay to worry about. Maybe he gets a bunch of money thrown at him. But But it feels like it's gearing up for one of those summers again. Every single time we have one of those big, you know, one or two or three big free agents. And I think the league is going to once again have that changing landscape. I wouldn't rule out Toronto trying to make another splash besides just keeping Kawhi Leonard, but maybe going and getting another star to join with him and Lowry. But this is why I love the NBA. Even with the All-Star weekend, where, you know, since we're getting into that home stretch of the season, we're gearing up towards free agency. And honestly, it makes the 4th of July a hell of a lot more interesting.
And I would love for the Lakers to actually be competitive, because a Lakers-Celtics finals that is LeBron versus Kyrie would be one of the most entertaining things to watch.
I hate LeBron, but I like watching him play, man. He's just so damn talented. And it took me a long time to realize that, just as like a Celtics fan, you can't help hate the guy because he's, you know, Celtics and him were trading blows for a long, long time.
Yeah.
And finally, when the Big Three era, you know, had reached its end here, you know, we went into irrelevancy for a while, and LeBron just kind of rained on the parade of everybody in the East, and now it's an opportunity to go toe-to-toe with him wearing gold. Yeah, I'm taking that opportunity 9 times out of 10, and that would make for some amazing television.
As long as Rondo's not in a Laker uniform.
Oh, God, I want him to come home. Come home, Rondo. Yeah, I miss Rondo so much. I hope he does one of those things whenever he decides to retire, whenever he decides to hang up, to do like a one-day contract. Just because Rondo is just one of those dudes. He's a Kobe-level asshole, like where it's just like, that guy is a dick, but you can't help but love him.
Yeah, I saw something in the game where he hit that game winner, that he hit an early three, I want to say over Marcus, and he's like, this is my fucking city. Like, he still loves Boston. And it was heartbreaking, but amazing at the same time.
It was Terry. I remember they back threes, and he was like, you know, this is my house, man. This is my home.
Yeah. Or I'm back home, or something like that.
Yeah.
It's pretty great.
Well, other than that, guys, you guys have anything else to add for today?
I'm going Kyrie for MVP of the All-Star game.
Fingers crossed, man. Hopefully that'll be a good one to watch. One thing he said leading up to it, I'm going to play some defense, so we'll see what happens.
Let's see. I need a bold prediction. That's my thing. Let's see. Thinking. Celtics come back from the break and win 10 straight.
Okay, I like it. They were 6-2 leading into it. Also, shouting back to Tatum, he was the team's second highest scorer during that stretch, so... fingers crossed they can get that momentum back and keep rolling. Gordon was in the gym today, so hopefully we'll get more Gordon Hayward.
I think Gordon's coming back. I know we've said it a couple times, but he looks really good.
Yeah, he does. And the stretch with him leading the team right now without Kyrie is doing wonders too.
Yeah.
All righty. Well, I think other than that, I think we're done for today. Thank you, everyone, listening to Celtics Pulse, part of the Pulse Podcast Network. You guys can find us on iTunes, and be sure to check out the rest of our pods at PulsePodcastNetwork.com. And also, please check out our sponsor, TickSplit. Thank you guys for today. Have a good one. We'll catch you next time.